Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, my next guest is one of the few Irish entertainers whose stage is the globe. He's a magician, he's a mentalist, and he's an entertainer. And he's a great friend of the show. Keith Barry, how are you?
I'm fantastic, thank you. How are you?
Good to see you. And as I say, I haven't seen you in a while, so great to see you and thanks for coming in.
No, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, 25 years in show business, celebrating that this year, yeah?
Do you know what? It's nearly 26 years. Yeah. But yeah, I'm in my 25th year, yeah.
It's a long time in show business.
It is, yeah.
It's a long time doing what you're doing, 40-odd TV shows. It all started with a Paul Daniels magic set when you were five down there in Waterford.
Yeah, it's mad. Like, I got that as a Christmas gift from Santa Claus when I was five. And yeah, the magic bug bit, as they say. And then I used to watch Paul Daniels every Saturday night. And it kind of snowballed on from there. Then started to get books on magic when I was a little bit older. And then started to perform in the public eye when I was 14, actually. You know?
Is there huge pressure to come on up with the next thing? You know,
always.
You do a tour, you have a stage set, you do, and are you always thinking about where am I going to go next? Because you probably have to be bringing in new things to keep current, to keep relevant, to keep entertaining.
But it's even to keep myself entertained, yeah. To be honest, you know. But yeah, it's not, I don't even see it as a pressure. I put the pressure on myself, to be honest. I'll tell you what I don't like in the entertainment world. I don't like when people get lazy and just churn out their greatest hits year after year after year. Or, you know, dare I say it, a lot of comedians just do the same show for years and years. So I pride myself on the fact that I've changed every show on every other show, meaning not, so this year's show is not just different than last year, it's different than every other show I ever did. And I've done that every year now for almost 26 years. And this current show, like, I know we're going to talk about it, but this current show is called Unhinged. And it's called Unhinged for a very specific reason, because, like, this is probably the most bonkers show I've ever put together, you know?
And why is it unhinged? Why is it so bonkers?
Well, so January last year, my dad, he was very sick. He was in a hospice and we knew he was going to pass away. He knew he was going to pass away. And you have to, for context, before I tell you what I'm going to say, he had a very dark, sarcastic sense of humour. And we were best buddies. And like me and you, we talk about fishing a lot, but me and dad used to go fishing and he would be the only dad there. So he was one of the lads in my gang, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, about a week before he passed, he said, Kate, bring me on tour with you. And I said, well, Dad, look, we know that's not going to happen. Like, you know, because he knew he'd only cut a couple of weeks left, if he even, and it ended up being about a week. And I said, look, that's not good. He said, no, you idiot. Because he thought about it, you see. He said, bring my ashes on tour and mess with their minds. So the reason the show is called Unhinged is because I've got my dad on tour with me. Like, his ashes are on tour in an urn. Really is him. He's really on tour. To honour him. And then I knew what he meant by mess with their minds. So I do a seance every night on tour in Unhinged where we contact my dead father. Now, I'll take a step back because you're looking at me with open eyes. You're like, what? Yeah. So he didn't believe, and this was only a personal thing in his, he didn't believe in an afterlife. So he had a non-religious ceremony when he died and so on. So he didn't believe in an afterlife. And I don't believe, as you know, that anyone can contact the dead. And I don't believe in psychics. That's only my personal belief. But then we do it anyway, every night. So the whole idea is that I push people over the edge of a cliff, like we contact dead loved ones. I tell everybody it's fake. What we're doing is fake. But then I'm more accurate than any psychic they've ever seen.
Amazing.
So it freaks them out. And, you know, somebody comes up from the audience and I hypnotize them and I allow the spirit of my father to enter their body for that moment in time. So that's why it's called Unhinged.
Well, you know, sounds good. Now, you're going to give us some dates at the end, but
yeah.
Tell me about the business end of what you do. Mm. How close are you to it in terms of knowing how many shows you got to do, tracking the sales, making sure you're not spending too much on costs? How close are you to the business part of the gig?
Very close, but I suppose for years I've done it kind of naturally. which is a strange thing to say. So for me, like, yes, I budget like other people, but I more kind of just do it in my head. I don't like, I'm not a PowerPoint or an Excel spreadsheet kind of person. So I just say to myself, if I'm building a theatre show, but I mean, the corporate shows too can be expensive on my end. I might have some piece of equipment that I need to buy. But like, if we take a theatre show, like, I'll in my head map out, okay, how many shows I'm doing? 30 shows. And then I'll map out, what do I need? Do I need, like, what backdrops do I need? What lighting rig do I need? Can we rent stuff? Do I need to buy stuff? And then props wise, I need to make it look good.
Yeah.
We need to have a camera screen. So I cost that all of that out, obviously, in advance. And then sometimes I might hire, you know, a co-writer from the States or something, and they can be very expensive, let me tell you. They're not cheap. They don't come cheap for me to bounce ideas off, because I need people to bounce ideas off and so on. So, like the business is just me and the missus.
Yeah.
So my wife runs the back end of my business. So she's better at the number crunching than me, but I do it kind of naturally in my head, and I kind of know where we're at, you know?
Yeah, no, good. And even to look at big picture stuff, 25 shows.
Yeah.
These are the costs. These are potential sales. And then maybe how did we do versus last year or otherwise?
Yeah, but I'll tell you, like, the interesting thing is about it is, I suppose that what people don't like really realise is, I think every entertainer in Ireland, I don't know if it's the same abroad, but in Ireland, like, you've got to get to about 70-75% sales just to break even.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. Yeah. Because basically, you need to be selling out. And if you're not selling out, you're not making money.
Yeah.
Like, there has been times, not recently, touch wood. So that's why, like, I've done 20 Unhinged shows. There's a reason there's another 12, because the 20 sold well. I wouldn't do another 12 if they didn't sell well, being honest.
You also have the situation sometimes where you sell a show and there's interest, strong interest, and you can get it to the second day with the same costs, maybe. You know,
exactly. Like,
so an additional show would be more profitable.
Yeah, for sure.
Than one show.
Yeah, for sure. You do a matinee. Like, I've never done this, except this time I am. It's the first time I've ever road tested this. You do a matinee during the day, and then you do a second show that night. So this is the matinee shows apparently are quite popular now.
Yeah.
Like, who knows?
Good man.
But what I was going to say real quick is, maybe 6-7 years ago, there was a couple of times when I stood on stage and I knew, and it's called pay to play in the industry. I knew I was paying to play. Like, I was standing there, and that hurts. But look, you know, ticket sales are really strong these days.
At least you don't have to tell jokes knowing that you're losing money.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of comedy in my show as well. It seems quite serious when I mention the seance, but it is a laugh a minute show, Unhinged. Good. As well. There's a lot of other stuff in there as well.
So Unhinged, you say you've already done...
I've done 20 Unhinged shows, and then I've got just 12 more. Like, October 18th, I'm in the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin, so that's the final Dublin date. And then I'm in Wexford Spiegel Tent October 23rd. Look, I'm all over the country. I'm in The Haven in Dunmore East. I am
old stomping ground.
Yeah, and I've never done a gig in The Haven, so I can't wait to do
you
that.
You drank pints there in the old days.
I've drank plenty of pints in The Haven, and I drank them a few weeks ago down there too.
Tell us about the corporate world and... corporate entertainment, is that a big part of what you do now?
Yeah, it's the majority of what I do, really. Yeah. I mean, the public shows are fantastic, but, you know, I haven't done TV in a good number of years now, and that's by choice. I'm not really that interested in TV, dare I say it, anymore. If the right opportunity arose, I might. But I've done so much television. Like, I suppose people in Ireland don't realise, like, I've done literally hundreds of hours of my own television.
Of course, yeah.
You know, between Australia, America, US, you know, US, UK. So anyway, I kind of took a step back from that, and then you got to kind of fill a void, I suppose. So 10 years ago, I got heavily involved in the corporate world. So I'd say the corporate work is about 70% of my work now.
Wow.
And of that 70%, I would say only about 30% is entertainment. The other 70% is... everything from mindset to culture shifts to motivational. And I really enjoy that because it's very different, I suppose, than the entertainment aspect.
And
you know?
It's you're not having to entertain, but there's an expertise that you bring from your experience.
Well, very often people hire me now as a facilitator. So like, not to name any names, but like, you know, I'm heavily involved with a very well-known brand here in Ireland. Everybody would know the brand. And my job is to facilitate their culture and leadership days. But also to probe them with mindset shifts, paradigm shifts, as I like to call it. And what's really interesting to me is the other companies that I've dealt with, actually quite recently, I think the churn rate of a company has far less to do with people being poached by other companies and wages. Everybody talks about wages. It's all to do with the culture and all to do with the values. So here's what, my job is to make people feel uncomfortable. So very often I'll go into a company. The first thing I'll do is go to the CEO, list your values, fast, go. And I'm telling you now,
Asking for salary is a good way to start.
No, forget the salary. Forget the salary. Everybody knows they're on the too high of a salary. But 9 times out of 10, Bobby, they can't list the culture of the values of their own company. And then I'm like, well, if you can't list them, how do you expect your 3,000 employees to live by these values?
Yeah.
And then people get disgruntled and, you know.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it can be. My job is to sprinkle in some fun in there as well sometimes. So, you know, I do put a bit of fun in there too, you know.
All right, we're going to do a trick, are we?
It's not a trick, it's an experiment.
Experiment, okay.
We'll call it an experiment, right?
Trick is sort of a bad word to use.
Well, tricks are for, tricks for dogs and ladies of the night, shall we say.
I like your tattoo, I hadn't seen that before.
Thanks, yeah, yeah.
Like brain hacker.
Yeah, brain hacker.
Really cool.
But it's kind of my story arc of my family down one side and my whole career down the other side.
Very cool.
So it's very meaningful. So here's the idea, this is about influence. Oh, I've got a red envelope for you. Don't open it, but that's for you. That's the mystery envelope, okay?
Right.
So here's the interesting thing. We've got today's Irish Independent, and this is all about influence. Your job is to stop me from influencing you. Do not allow me to influence you. My job is to influence you, okay? So let's see how many pages are in here. What have we got? We've got 51 pages in the Indo, okay? And I'm going to go through them page by page. So I'm not going to flick through, because if I flick through, you know, I might, you know, go to a certain page. And anytime you want, as I flick through, and I'll go through page by page, anytime you want, you're going to say stop as I go. And I can go back because I went past some. So oh, whatever you want. You go say go forwards, go back. You stop whenever you want to stop, Bobby.
The business is normally on a page 32 or 33.
Okay, let's go to 32. What's the way? Have we got business on 32? We got lifestyle. We've got the divorce diaries at 32, 33. Then we've got facial sun creams. Okay, but whatever. There's the crosswords are there. Are you a crossword person?
So you'll want to come back? Come back to 22, see what's there.
Okay, what have we got? 22. 27. Hang on, we'll take out that middle section. There we go, 22. Happy there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do this fast now, okay? I'm going to rip this in half, okay? You decide, Bobby, you decide, okay? Whichever page you want to keep, just point at it. Point at a page. Now, we're going to go around. You want to keep that one?
Yeah.
Now, do you want to change? You can change. If you want to change, you can go back. Okay, I'm going to rip it in half again. Okay, which piece do you want to keep? Without overly examining, just go with your gut instinct. Keep one. You want to keep this one, yes? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try and be more accurate with my ripping skills now. Which piece do you want to keep? You want to keep? I'll separate them out. Which one do you want to keep?
I'll keep the smaller one.
Smaller one? Okay, let's try and be a little bit more accurate. Which one do you want to keep?
This one.
This one here? Okay, tear it down the middle here. Okay, which piece do you want to keep?
The bigger one.
The bigger one? Okay, we'll kind of go. Now, Bobby, look at me. Take a deep breath in and out. Final choice. Don't overthink it now. You decide which one you want to keep. Okay, you want to keep the one in my left hand or right hand? Left or right?
Your left hand.
This one. You want to keep this one?
Yeah.
Get rid of this one. Okay, so take that one there.
And this is a small piece of paper, folks, about an inch square.
And you're happy that that was your free choice?
Yeah, and it says satellite.
Okay, satellite. Is there other words there as well?
UTV, Good Morning Britain.
But the one that stood out to you was?
Satellite.
I mean, that was fair, right?
Yeah.
But nothing in life is fair, Bobby, because we're being influenced all the time. We've been influenced by social media. Where our focus goes, that's what we become. I gave you a red envelope before the whole thing even began.
Okay, let's have a look. So it's what's in here is to match this.
Well, yeah. I don't know. What does it say?
Bobby will choose satellite. How do you do this? My God, Keith Parry, what a master, folks. Absolutely. So just to explain it, so he ripped up a paper and he ended up giving me a word called satellite. In this envelope that he gave me before he even came in here is a card saying Bobby will choose satellite. Oh my God.
And you made all the decisions.
My God.
Or did you?
How does this work? Listen, my friend, we'll go fishing soon.
Yes, love
great
it.
To see
love
you.
To.
Thanks
all
for
right,
coming
thanks,
in.
Man, yeah.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.